to give her 2 cents on the now concluded matter. Stevens, of course, has no love for Cosby. She took issue with persons who seemed to be sympathizers with the convicted rapist. In a post, she urged people to stop acting as if a crime was not committed. Her statement no doubt drew the attention of some social media users who expressed disappointment with her reasoning and sought to point out that the only reason Cosby was convicted was because of his race. So definitely Tanya not pulling any punches. And finally, reggae legend Bob Marley will be the subject of an upcoming Netflix docu-series investigating some of music's biggest unsolved mysteries. The 8-episode project called Remastered will be available on the streaming service on October 12th with one new episode every month. And the docuseries will open with Who Shot the Sheriff? A look at the role Jamaican politicians and the CIA played in the attempted assassination of Bob Marley following the 1972 election won by, of course, the Michael Manley-led People's National Party. The year will conclude with an episode that focuses on who killed Jam Master Jay, the Run DMC DJ, who was of course killed in a Queens, New York studio back in 2002. Other investigations to be highlighted include a look into the mysterious shooting death, of course, of Sam Cooke. Of course, one of the greatest singers in my book of all time. So, should be an interesting series and look forward to watching it in October.
Okay.
2019.
All right. I know you said finally Anthony Turner, but on Sunday, November 4th, New Rochelle comes alive at the Radisson Hotel when the ultimate all blue inclusive party, Blue and Bougie, returns with the Sunday edition at the Radisson in New Rochelle. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for our featured segment. It is called Mic Check. Our very special guest, we could call him a professor, we could call him a writer, we could call him a singer, but first, I'm going to let Anthony Turner introduce my special guest. Go ahead, Anthony.
Well, our special guest on Mic Check this morning is, of course, an award-winning Jamaican writer. We're talking about Mr. Colin Channa. His first two-length novels, Waiting in Vain and Satisfy My Soul, bears the title of well-known Marley songs. And born in Jamaica, Kingston, in fact, Colin Channa is the youngest of 4 children. He attended Arden High School and Meadowbrook before he migrated to New York. And in 1998, his novel, Waiting in Vain, was actually selected as a Critics' Choice by the Washington Post. Time Out New York also selected the award-winning book as Book of the Summer. Another of the short stories from Channa was developed into his second novel, Satisfy My Soul. Released in 2002, Satisfy My Soul depicts the conflict between African spirituality and Christianity in the context of black relationships. And Passing Through, published in 2004, is a collection of connecting stories set on the fictional Caribbean island of San Carlos. And the stories span the entire 20th century up to the present day. His most recent book is the poetry collection Providential. And in 2001, along with poet Kwame Dawes, Colin launched the Calabash International Literary Festival Trust, whose mission it was to transform the literary arts in the Caribbean. The annual festival takes place, of course, each year at Jakes in Treasure Beach in Jamaica. And in addition to being the founder and artistic director of Calabash, Colin is the founder and bass player of reggae band Jackson.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Raspi, before you begin, yes, I have to say something. Is that Colin and I, of course, are students back, you know, our classmates back at Arden, and Colin is the one who normally is reading in class and anything that is literary. So it's kind of, I have to laugh to myself because now here I am introducing Colin.
Wow. But we could also say, you know, he's a proud parent, you know, Anthony. So he's a parent, a writer, a professor, and a singer. Ladies and gentlemen, the founder of Calabash, Mr. Colin Channa. Good morning, Colin.
Morning, Raslem. How you doing? Morning, Anthony. How you doing?
Yeah, man. Morning, Colin.
Everything is good, man. Everything is good. Boy, we don't even know where to start with you. But, you know, Anthony, I'm just going to go straight to the Jamaican perspective. I want to hear, as a matter of fact, fact. Colin, let's rewind the clock a bit, because Anthony Anthony always talk about his days at Arden High School, you know. Mm-hmm. And somebody told me that Anthony once tried to play Manning Cup football. So I don't know if you know anything about that, Colin.
Well, you know, here the thing is this, you know, back in those days, right?
Mm-hmm.
When first they call for Manning Cup,
mm-hmm.
you'll get like 150 people going out, you know?
Right.
And then, you know, people like me and people like Turner, people look at us like, really? And the constant reply was, no, man, I just doing it for the fitness. And I just doing it for the fitness. But actually, Turner was a much better sports man than me. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I was the worst athlete ever. In fact, let me tell you how bad I was. In second form,
mm-hmm.
we had inter-farm match,
mm-hmm.
and my farm had only 12 boys.
Mm-hmm.
So one person on the bench, Channa. Right? The team is up. We're up 4-0 against the other side.
Mm-hmm.
A guy got injured.
And then put in Colin.
Taken off the field. I do the normal thing, which is run out. They said, no, Channa, we're good. We're good. They would have rather played one-man shot. Because, you know, something... They're not sure what kind of confusion I could have caused for them. No, it's actually, we're all right, man. We're all right.
Wow. You know what? I should not have asked that question. Let's move on to the Jamaica.
Failure to me is one of the best teachers in life.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the ability to bounce back from failure, I think, is part of the drive
right.
for doing well, mm-hmm. you know, for many people. If you know how to manage failure, right. as a lesson.
You know, and that's a good point, you know, because it now leads me to say that Elon Musk from Tesla, he was a failure coming out of college. The man who created Twitter, he considered himself a failure because he interviewed at Google and he interviewed at Facebook and he was rejected. Then he turned around and here comes Twitter. Same thing with the guy who founded WhatsApp. And sold it for how many billions of dollars to Facebook.
Right.
So
right.
depending on how you deal with your failure, it can really, you know, it can really
Come
propel
on,
you
to,
you know.
Oh, absolutely.
But Colin, you know, last week we engaged the director, the executive director from the Institute of Jamaica, and mm-hmm. your name came up in that interview. And mm-hmm. I said to Anthony, boy, we have a fine Colin Channa and bring
wow.
in, you have a fine Colin Channa. But tell us about what's happening with Colin Channa these days. I understand you're a professor. Now, what's going on?
Yeah, well, you know, I've been a professor since around 2005, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was a journalist. Then I became an advertising copywriter and designer. And then,
mm-hmm.
in fact, when I was writing the first book, I was working in graphic design studios and advertising agencies in New York. And then... I went into academia around 2005, 2006, started at City University in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Met Guy Evers, gave me my first job. And then, you know, I like it. So I like the classroom.
Right.
Just like I like writing and going on book tour. And just also, too, just, you know, doing things like festivals like Calabash and stuff like that so that we can yeah. create different kind of communities, many communities, around books, around music, around the arts, you know, in Jamaica mm-hmm. and abroad.
Mm-hmm. You know, Colin, Anthony and I do a lot of conversation off mic and we talk about Jamaica a lot. And we're trying to figure out what's going on in Jamaica. And one of the things that I know, you know, you can talk about the Jamaica perspective. And as a Jamaican and as a man who has resided here in the United States for quite some time, you're now in the classroom. You have written a lot of books, whether, you know, full length or short stories. Your take on Jamaica, give us your Jamaica perspective, Nicole in China.
I mean, Jamaica is an interesting country. It's very complicated, you know. It's a country that, like most places in the Caribbean, was not designed to be a country. It was a labor camp
mm-hmm.
for forced labor, which we call slavery,
mm-hmm.
which was then converted into a functioning nation. Now, that conversion has been difficult because it wasn't designed to be some place where people would have full agency, full rights, right? Mm-hmm. The journey to this point has been difficult. At the same time, Jamaica's had tremendous successes in all fields of endeavor. So I'm optimistic about Jamaica, but I'm also concerned about Jamaica, mm-hmm. you know, especially as it relates to the root of some of our problems with it, which is inequality okay. of opportunity and inequality of justice under the law.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you talk about those inequality, Colin, you know, you mentioned a while ago, you mentioned slavery. And our guest last week, we engaged him to talk about Jamaica getting emancipated 180 years ago. But there always seems to be some inequality in Jamaica. Talk yeah. about that, Colin, because coming out of slavery, folks don't understand that, as our guest said last week, Anthony, that all our ancestors were homeless. They were thrown out. So how did we get to this stage, Colin?
well, it's, you know, we just need to turn to reggae, you know. We just need to turn to Burning Spear. Mm. Do you remember the days of slavery, where mm-hmm. he describes things that happened? And the big fat toe, we had to pull it. We must pull it with shackles around our neck. Do you remember the days of slavery? Mm-hmm. Or the great slug around Babylon released a chain, but they might use them bread. Mm-hmm. Slavery was essentially the disavowal of humanity in people, right? So my foreparents came to Jamaica not by way of immigration, but through customs, as freight. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. So we started out as goods.
right. True.
And then we became, in a strange way, a kind of artificial intelligence, because we were things that were given human tasks, mm-hmm. but then promoted to animal status. Think about that. Right? Now, we started out as things.
Yes.
Right. Then we became animals. And then we were given human tasks while we were animals. Right? Mm-hmm. And so emancipation meant that pressure from inside of Jamaica, the revolutionary nature of the Jamaican character, that profound, tremendous, revolutionary, rebellious nature, mm-hmm. and intelligence of Jamaicans to say, listen, this is not our natural position. This is something imposed on us, right? So there's pressure from inside. There's also pressure from outside, right? Mm-hmm. From the anti-slavery mm-hmm. lobby in Britain, etc. Mm-hmm. But when Jamaica is, when people are emancipated in Jamaica, compensation, monetary compensation, mm-hmm. right, was paid to the people who owned them for loss of property.
Yeah. Our bosses so got paid. Yeah.
The people
yeah.
who worked for hundreds of years for nothing mm-hmm. did not get compensated for that. The people who they labored for mm-hmm. received compensation from the British government. And so you find that the inequality that was there in Jamaica right. is tripled by that. So to work out of that position is a difficult one. And different kind of strategies have been tried, different, but it's still hard. You know, we talawa bad yeah. because for where we're coming from and for the impact that we've had on the world, mm-hmm. you know, it's tremendous. But at the same time, we remain stuck. Think of how many states of emergency are going on in Jamaica now, how many zones of special operation are going on in Jamaica now.
Currently.
And the police commissioner just said, you know, we'd like to have more, we just don't have the resources. In other words, uh-huh. the situation is graver
yeah.
than it is.
You know, Colin, and I know that Professor Sir Hilary Beckles from the University of the West Indies, he did write a open letter to then English Prime Minister David Cameron when he visited Jamaica. We're still looking for a reparation. Mm-hmm. But here's one of my things that I talk, Anthony and I talk about a lot, is a lot of the lies, I look at them as lies that have been told to us. Even sometime in the classroom, because I think sometime our history is fabricated.
It's not our history.
It's their history. Our story then is fabricated. We're not getting blunt enough. We're not being honest. And when I say we're not being honest, a lot of us don't have conversations like this around our dining room table, Colin. And growing up as a young boy in Jamaica, yes, I would see in my household, I would see portraits of Martin Luther King, but I wouldn't see one of Marcus Mosiah Garvey. I wouldn't see one of Paul Bogle. So while we celebrate, those who come through Garvey movement and those who come through the Bogle movement, we kind of take out a part of our history.
Sure.
Do you think if we go back, Colin, and we start to tell the truth more, even this whole Santa Claus story, ain't no Santa Claus. So why are we telling our kids about Santa Claus? but that's beside the point. If we get a little bit more honest with each other, a little bit more honest with the youngsters, you think it can make a change?
I mean, yes and no. The truth is that there are many opportunities for people to have honest conversation. We're more connected now than we've ever been. Just think of how many people in Jamaica have TVs, how many people in Jamaica have phones, how many people in Jamaica are connected to social media. So we have the means, but it's just what we decide to talk about.
That's true. That is true,
that's
too.
One thing, right? Mm-hmm. So we're living in an age across the world of distraction, right?
Yes.
So there's one thing, right? So we're caught up in many trivial things. The second thing, too, is that, the awareness of history is necessary, but it is not sufficient. A country like Jamaica, for example, no matter how much we learn about the complexities of history, if we don't have debt relief, we'll not resolve our problem, right? If we don't get sexual violence under control in Jamaica, if we don't get murder under control in Jamaica, right? But if we don't also get the psychological battering that ordinary people take every day, just being disrespected and just being dishonored in everyday lives, that problem will not resolve itself. Now, I'm talking about this as a citizen of Jamaica, as a writer who's concerned, on the page, are sort of working out some of these complexities, and also as a university professor, but also as a student of reggae.
Right.
I mean, anybody who has access to hearing reggae cannot say, right, they have not had for decades another version of history. 96 degrees in the shade, real hot in the shade. Oh. Said it was 96 degrees in the shade. 10,000 soldiers on parade, taking I and I to see the big fat boy, sent from overseas, the Queen's employ. Excellency, before you I come, with my representation, you know where I'm coming from. You caught me on the loose, trying to be free, and you showed me a noose on the cotton tree. Education for you, martyrdom for me. 96 degrees in the shade, real hot in the shade. Some may suffer and some may burn, but I know one day my people will learn. Third world.
I am happy that you were the one who said that, Colin Chana. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're just joining us, our very special guest this morning is Jamaican writer, Professor Colin Chana. And you could also put in poet and musician too, Anthony Turner. And I know you're eager to ask a question, but let me just...
And failed footballer.
Okay.
Failed high jumper.
Wow.
Failed sprinter.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's also the founder of the literary festival, the international literary festival called Calabash. I don't want people to think that this is a local festival and it's an international festival. Colin Chana. Yes, sir.
Marlon James, the great writer Marlon James, who won the Booker Prize in 2015, says, Jamaicans will put the word international in anything, you know?
No, but
Nini's international wrestling.
No, man, but for real, this is an international festival, and I don't want people to take it slightly or lightly. But, you know, what you just mentioned with 96 degrees in the shade, very powerful. But here's something that we always talk about, and we talk about this, that we, our generation, we got some good teachings, you know. Through we got the teachings of Garvey. We know the nanny story. We know the Bogle story. We got some very good teachings through our story. But then through our music, the Burning Spears of the world, the Robert Nesta Marleys of the world, the Jimmy Cliffs of the world. I could go on and on. We got some very good teachings musically, too.
But can I point to wrestling?
Yes.
We have this habit sometimes as Jamaican men, we talk about the music, the people who sort of made the music great. We often forget the women, and we forget Judy Moore sometimes. We forget Marcia Griffiths.
Oh, yeah, she and Marcia Griffiths.
We forget Phyllis Diller sometimes.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? They're a part of this legacy of great music and great songwriting as well, yeah?
I know, Anthony, I recently saw a presentation done by Sister Marcia Griffiths and Sister Judy Mott over at Hope Gardens. Great presentation of music. But I know you have a question for Colin, Anthony.
Yeah, man. Well, Colin, of course, you went to Aden, a Christian school.
Yes.
Jamaica probably has more churches in terms of square miles than any place in the world.
Yeah.
Your book Satisfy My Soul. I mean, when I was reading up on it, it talked about the conflict between African spirituality and Christianity in the context of black relationships.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that, and, you know, what is it, the message that you wanted to impart, and explain some of these conflicts that you talk about.
Okay. So for me, I tend to begin a book with questions for myself, and more so than messages, because I am working out something on the page. You know, it always struck me that although we know that in Jamaica we became Christians through coercion, so we arrive in Jamaica with religions in place, right? We know that we became Christians largely, overwhelmingly through coercion. It was beaten into us. Yet we cling to it in Jamaica and across the Caribbean, right? More so than the people who beat it into us. When you go to England now, there's nobody in churches. A lot of the churches are concert halls. They're performance spaces because, you know, they build them with great acoustics, right? Yet we cling to it, right? And what is the meaning of that? My thing is this, you know, why is it so difficult for us to even have a relationship with both, with African spirituality, with, you know, when it's African, grass of a big continent, right? With various forms of Christianity and all of that, right? And then, you know, the other part of it is how Rastafari is a way of working out that question. How is it that we know that we come from Africa? We come largely from West Africa, but the need to find a way, a dignified way in Christianity, is to reach over West Africa, where religion from West Africa in Jamaica are filed under Obia and science, necromancy, and go to Ethiopia, which was a long time Christian country, and then to construct a belief system. Now, whether or not Selassie is God, that's not my business. But the larger question is this. For some people, the idea of any version or vision of God as black is dangerous and appalling and must be stamped out, right? So I remember once being on book tour, I think I was in Jacksonville. And so I was reading from the book, right? Because in the book, what it is that you have a Jamaican man who's a Rasta. But his grandfather had come from Ghana. And he meets a woman who is from Ghana, straight from Ghana, but living in Jamaica. And the complication that he has with her is that she cannot believe she's not Christian. But how, it's so illogical. How can you not be unreal? And he's somebody who considers himself open-minded, but finds it very difficult to tackle that part of himself, which is that he can chant with the Buddhists, he can do all of that, but once it comes down to a West African God, once it comes down to that space, difficulty, because it leads him back to Wobia, it leads him back to everything that he's been taught to your generation. That's what novel is about. No, it's also novel that, you know, that is what it's sort of dealing with intellectually, but it's also novel about those two complicated people, right, who for other reasons should not be together, you know, and they have a whole heap of sex and all kind of things, but, you know, so it comes out, I end up writing a sex book about religion, which is kind of strange, right?
You know, Colin, you mentioned something earlier on about slavery, Christianity, and how we cling to Christianity. I want folks to understand that the only book that we could read as slaves and we didn't get beaten for it was the Bible. So that's why this conversation today about Christianity is such a difficult one for even us as Jamaicans, Anthony. Having more churches per square miles than probably anywhere else in the world. We don't want to try anything else. And then you mention Selassie and God. If Selassie is God. I remember talking to Professor Rex Netherford, who wrote a book called Rastas in Kingston. And he talked about why he wrote the book. And it was a mere fact that the outside world started looking in on the Rastafarians in Jamaica and said, whoa, these brethren and sisters know something that we need to know how they know it. And it's not like Selassie is God. But remember this. The Jews have their Rebbe. The Catholic have their Pope. We can go on about the Indians and the and the Chinese and everybody else. Well, Rastafari needed somebody to say, oh, I got that. So we play a con game upon them. And we say, Selassie, a God. And now they must say, Rasta, religion. But Rastafari is not a religion. It's a way of life. It's a way of life. And it's
it's a very good point you make.
And it's a hopeful way of life.
When
we come back after the top of the hour channel, Colin channel, we're gonna talk Rastafari and we're gonna talk His Majesty. And we're gonna
music.
And we're gonna go out with Satisfy My Soul from Robert Nesta Marley, one of the teacher. It is Grooving Radio on a Saturday morning. Our very special guest is professor and writer Colin Channa, Anthony Turner, and Ras Klim.
Oh, please, don't you rock my boat.
Don't rock my boat.
Cause I don't want my boat to be rocking.
Don't rock my boat.
Oh, please, don't you rock my boat.
No, no,
cause I don't want my boat to be rocking.
Brothers and sisters, we're gonna have to control our narratives. We're gonna have to control what we feed our community, what we feed our people. Because if we keep taking what they feed us, think about it. What they have fed us for hundreds and hundreds of years, has it really helped us? So why is it now? We cannot pause for a moment, folks, and feed our folks what we know they should be fed. You wouldn't feed a new baby a piece of pork, or you wouldn't feed a newborn baby some Coca-Cola. You give that newborn baby some breast milk, right? So listen, this is Grooving Radio. And if we're going to have to go back to the infant stage and start to feed you, that is what we're gonna do. And that's why we design Mic Check right here on Grooving Radio. Stay what where you are. When we come back, Colin Channa will continue. We will talk inside. Rastafari and His Imperial Majesty, Haile Selassie. We also will talk about Calabash, the International Literary Festival. Stay where you are.
I feel like a
sweet
winner when I meet you around the corner.
Around the corner,
you make me feel like
Rastafari. You must believe me.